Hi folks, Canadian Prepper here. I got some great news. Great news. The Dow Jones and the stock market are hitting all-time highs, okay? Blazing past 40,000 en route to 50, baby. And it's made me have the realization that maybe I'm doing it all wrong. Maybe I'm missing out, in fact. And I think that I've been far too pessimistic and bearish and, quite frankly, alarmist over the years, and it's time to rein it in. In fact, it's time to pack it in. So that is why officially today, this is my last video, okay? I'm selling the homestead. We're trading the bugs. We're moving to the beach. We're buying some Bitcoin, getting rid of all of this preparedness trash that's weighing me down. But hey, if you still want to support the channel, by all means, go to CanadianPreparedness.com and buy a bunch of prepping shit that you're probably never ever going to use, because as we all know, and as we've been proven for the last 5 years, nothing bad ever happened. So thanks for watching, guys. Stay safe out there. Just hang on a sec. I got a call coming in here. This number looks familiar. Hello. Yeah, can I call you back? I'm just doing a video here. What's the emergency? Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. Disregard that. That's just a deep fake or some sort of error on MarketWatch. Yeah, no, there's no way it's 24.77. There's no way. The markets are at all-time highs. Yeah, it's a barometer for social chaos, man. If that were true, it'd be like, you know, we would see assassination attempts and stuff like that. Yeah, no. No, I'm pretty sure it's just the Chinese buying jewelry and stuff. It's in vogue right now. Yeah, they're buying bullion. Okay, how much are they paying? That much over spot? But that would mean that the American financial system is truly becoming insolvent. Hang on. Oh, I forgot I'm recording. I'll call you right back. Hey! Okay. So, as it turns out, we are fucked. Okay. So, but here's the thing. Sure, 72 hours ago, we just barely averted a descent into a civil lawlessness, and quite possibly civil war, the likes of which we haven't seen for many generations, and that would officially kicked off the fourth turning. Sure, there was that, but I mean, you know, it didn't happen, right? And it likely won't happen, because. It's not as if, you know, they're assassinating people everywhere, I mean, with the exception of Robert Fico and the hit that was uncovered by MBS and the Iranian president whose helicopter went down. I mean, those are just coincidences. It's not as if we're seeing a new level of chaos within the global system. It's not as if the North Koreans, the Russians, the Chinese, and the Iranians are starting to do joint military exercises and sharing military intelligence and weaponry and openly declaring that if one is attacked, then it's attack against all. It's not as if that's going on, right? I mean, it's not as if the markets are so wildly overvalued that the most intelligent and most successful investor of all time, Warren Buffett, has an indicator that says that the markets are the most overvalued they've ever been before in human history. I mean, you know, I think This is a risk-on environment, okay? Just don't worry about it. It's not as if we're seeing nuclear brinkmanship, the likes of which we've never seen before. It's not as if we just had averted a massive war between Israel and Iran. It's not as if we have one brewing with Hezbollah. It's not as if the Ukrainians continue to target Russian strategic nuclear assets. It's not as if there was recently a nuclear submarine in Cuba. Once again, it's not as if NATO is building massive corridors to transport military manpower and materiel across the Western Front to the Eastern Front in the case that the Russians invade the Baltics. It's not that there's no more nuclear treaties currently in play. It's not that many countries are talking about conscription and sending out war manuals, in fact, talking about conscripting women because there's not enough men or real men to go around. You know, I think things are going to be fine. I mean, with the exception of this bird flu thing in Colorado that the media is not talking about, you know, the five people, I'm sure everybody's heard about it, right? The five people who got infected with bird flu and probably a lot more. I'm sure it's no big deal. I think we should all just chill out. I think we should buy some Bitcoin because, you know, Trump's coming. He made it. He dodged a bullet. So we're good to go. He's going to end the war in Ukraine, lickety-split, no problems, as if it's not a issue that has so much historical and strategic depth to it. I mean, clearly, you could just go in there and put a deal together. No problem, willy-nilly. The current administration would never have thought about that. It's not as if they're surrounded by a bunch of eager war hawks who are hell-bent on bringing us to the brink. Not at all. The price of gold, completely irrelevant. In fact, you know, I think it's going to go down. Okay, so it did go up a little bit throughout the time of making this video. I'm sure it's nothing. I'm sure it's not a big deal that the vice presidential pick is incredibly hawkish and adamant about going to war with Iran. I'm sure it's no big deal that he's chummy with Lindsey Graham, you know, the guy who wanted to directly attack the Russians. I'm sure it's no big deal. I'm sure everything is going to be just fine. Everything is just fine. Price of gold sky high? Why not the markets too? I mean, let's get real. Those things are always correlated, right? Okay, guys. So, you know, let's see what the Oracle has to say. The Maidan Oracle. Let's see what she has to say.
Ukraine, then I cannot not ask you the question. If Trump is...
This is Victoria Nuland, by the way.
...is elected, what will happen to Ukraine? Will he agree to give Putin his demanded territories?
Well, first of all, I don't believe Donald Trump will be elected by the American people. This man is a felon. He is a liar. He is not a supporter of basic U.S. democratic freedoms and principles. He's talking about locking up Americans, locking up immigrants, hurting our economy, etc. So I don't think that Donald Trump is going to be president. So if that's what Putin's betting on, he's going to get a unhappy surprise, I think. That is number one.
I like it when he talk dirty. Surprises. Surprise, surprise. What could that surprise be? Another guy was busted today with an AK-47, a 21-year-old. What's with all these 20-year-old-ish, 20-something kids wielding weapons and taking shots at the political class? I mean, that is definitely something you'd see in the Fourth Turning. We're trying to get Neil Howe on the channel. He's the author of the book, The Fourth Turning, because every four generations or so, this kind of shit starts to happen. Only this time we happen to have something called nuclear weapons. That can be very stressful. There's a lot of people spreading a lot of disinformation about things like nuclear winter that we are going to debunk very soon. Now, where should we begin today's talk? Toronto flooded today. Drake's house. That's really the big news here. That's the big tragedy that is currently unfolding, is that Drake's house is currently underwater. So we're not going to get any more music from Drake for some time. This is what a flood looks like in Toronto. I don't know if the whole city's flooded or what, but it's a disaster. The CBC even was blocked out today. The lady making this video said she's never seen the CBC in a power outage before. Well, that's strange, because we get power outages here all the time. But thankfully, for a very short period of time, we Canadians were not susceptible to the CBC. Unfortunately, they're likely already back up and running. We got smoke inbound. Why? Because it's about to get hot. It is a scorcher right now, and it is going to get even worse, not in the east, but in the west. And this is where all the fires are burning. So just get ready for that. Big smoke coming real soon. We also have in Europe right now, it's hot. It is 39 degrees on the Donbass, in the Donbass today. 39 frickin' degrees in the trenches, fully kitted out. Could you imagine? Could you imagine being in the high-rise buildings of Kiev with no AC for like 20 hours of the day? I'm telling you, man, if the Ukrainians don't do something drastic, they're done. They're done because of the war of attrition, the attritional war that's being waged by the Russians. If they cannot get the power supply before winter, we're going to find out if Alexander Vucic's statements and Viktor Orban's statements, and most recently Robert Fico's warnings about an impending war on the greater European continent, I think we're going to find out in the coming months ahead. I think that, quite frankly, all hell could have just broken loose had Trump actually been assassinated. And it bears repeating because people are already starting to say nothing bad is ever going to happen again. Every time a black swan comes, they freak out, right? I get the phone call, right? And then a few hours go by and they say, see, nothing bad's going to happen. Understand what just happened. And it really bears repeating because I don't think people appreciate the gravity of this situation. Now you're seeing this crazy market melt-up bull run. Oil is going down. Why do you think oil is going down? Because they think Trump is coming back. But here's the thing. Here is the thing that not a lot of people are thinking about. Every time you have a front runner in an election cycle, people tend to get complacent. Last time, the last election, you had one of the biggest showings of support on record. But just remember that about 35% of the U.S. population didn't vote. If only 1 or 2% of those people actually went out to the polls and moved the needle, that critical little decimal point required, then it's going to mean all the difference. And either way, nobody is going to like the outcome. And if you thought January 6th was big, I mean, think about an attempted assassination and then losing the election again. So what's going to happen is because they're going to get complacent, if the Democrats can get out the vote, which I think is going to be their strategy, it appears as though Biden is on some pretty good meds lately. He's a lot more lucid in his comments. I'm not sure if the Trump thing just kind of gave him an adrenaline shot and woke him up, at least temporarily, although he is kind of stammering a bit tonight once again. But I think that the Democrats still have more of a chance than people think, as crazy as it sounds. The fact that people are thinking this is a foregone conclusion and they have it in the bag, I don't think so. I'm just warning people right now. Do not be surprised if those polls continue to trend up. It's still anybody's race at this point in time, and that's really how they want it, right? You have to understand, American politics is the modern-day Coliseum. It is the modern-day bread and circuses. It is what they use as a distraction, and you'll notice it's always a dead heat right to the finish, just as they like it, to divide the country entirely and conquer. When you really realize at the end of the day, two gangs are fighting over where they're going to spend all the money that they're stealing from people. That's all it is. That's it in a nutshell. And right now you have AIPAC behind the scenes trying to get the best deal. They're trying to see who they're going to put their support behind. Is it going to be Biden or is it going to be Trump? They're trying to give Biden another chance. You know, okay, you know, if you do this and this and this, we'll make sure that this happens, right? The Israeli lobby in the U.S. is incredibly powerful. I'm not saying they're all powerful, but they have a lot of sway. And if they can get behind Biden, then there's a good chance that they can pull some strings, if you know what I mean, and make it happen. So Biden is right now in a position where he's trying to broker those deals. In fact, he just told the Saudis, look, we'll continue to give you weapons. We will give you a security agreement, meaning that we will come to your aid if somebody attacks you. And we'll even give you nuclear power. Does the Saudis want nuclear weapons? It's possible. People say they can get them from the Pakistanis if need be. But I think that something strange is going on there. We know that Trump's VP, Vance, okay, here's the skinny on Vance, incredibly hawkish on Iran, is on record saying that they should have hit them much harder. He's extremely pro-Israel. He's extremely pro-Abraham Accords and expanding it. He wants to send Taiwan more weapons. He wants to supposedly ally with Russia against China. So apparently he's one of the most anti-Chinese politicians. That's never going to happen. That ship has sailed long ago. And of course, he will be the successor if anything happens to Trump. And in the very least, he will be in line for the presidency somewhere down the road. But he's also endorsed by Lindsey Graham, the guy who wanted to bomb Russia. Very buddy-buddy with Lindsey Graham. Now, we know the Republicans are just, you know, getting behind anybody right now to ensure that they win. But Lindsey Graham also called for attacking Russia. They consider Russia to be a terrorist state. They want them to be designated as such. In fact, I think he stopped short of nuking Russia, but that was in the cards, okay? Lindsey Graham will literally attack and nuke anything if given the codes. 100% guaranteed. Now, in terms of what's going on with this whole fiasco around the shooting, today you probably got word that they're trying to blame the Iranians. Not exactly, but they're trying to make the association ship, right, between the Iranians and the incident. And I told you days ago when I was riding in the tractor, I said, hey, the Dems, they're going to try to get something out of this. They're going to try to milk something out of this incident. And sure enough, what have they done? This is genius, actually. This is genius because they know they can't pin it on the guy because there's no way this 20-year-old Caucasian nerdy incel fellow has anything to do with the Iranians. Like, I mean, it's just impossible. But they found a way to bridge those two things in a headline. And this is genius. Exclusive. Secret Service ramped up security after receiving intel of an Iranian plot to assassinate Trump. No known connection to the shooting. You know, and apparently, if you actually read the article, they're hoping that most people don't read, they go on to say that, well, this is kind of common, that I'm assuming the CIA or other intelligence agencies are tipping off the SS, the modern-day SS, to these various threats. So that these Iranian threats or these, you know, breadcrumbs, it's not uncommon that they get this stuff. So that they're trying to put this in a headline and bundle it together tells you what the next stage of things is. It's going to be a war with Iran. You have, and the Iranians have denied this outright. Okay, they've said there's no, this is complete and utter bullshit. You have the new Iranian president who is posturing as being pro-JCPOA, wanting to go back to the nuclear deal. The Americans and the Israelis are just completely ignoring this guy, saying that it's all just a ruse, that they really are, and it very well may be, and of course, this is something that is in the hands of the Ayatollah. Ultimately, he makes the decisions, even though their Muslim religious edicts dictate that they can't have nuclear weapons, but I'm sure that's something that could be jerry-rigged somehow. So that's where we're at. We're going to go to war with Iran either way. It's just really a matter, again, it's a matter of two gangs. You have the globalists and the jingoists. The globalists have a much bigger strategy in mind. They want to go for the big dogs. They want to go for the peer-to-peer wars. The jingoists want to act out of self-interest and continue to imperialize surreptitiously these smaller colonies that they perceive to be technologically inferior. In the case of Iran, I don't think they've thought that one through enough. However, I would not be surprised if all of the aircraft carrier strike groups are pre-positioned somehow nearby right when Trump does get elected, then they're ready to go. Now, the thing with Iran that people need to understand, according to a Israeli scholar, I guess you can say a political scientist, Louise Rene Beres, he articulates it very well. The Israeli nuclear strategy. It is plausible that even a still pre-nuclear Iran, he says, could elicit a limited Israeli nuclear reprisal. Isn't that a very eloquent way of saying we're going to use tactical nukes against your country? That's what he's saying. And of course, this guy, this is a far more moderate position, you know, compared to like the Likud party in Israel, the hardline right wingers. The guy's saying we should nuke Gaza, for example. Even if Iran were to remain pre-nuclear, he says, Israel could sometime calculate that it should cross the nuclear threshold vis-a-vis Iran. This would be the case in those circumstances wherein non-introduction of Israeli nuclear weapons would allow Iran to gain the upper hand in crisis bargaining. Ergo, Israel needs to update and refine its policy of deliberate nuclear ambiguity and send Iran a message by using nuclear weapons. Now, just today, you have Vance saying, or who has said on record, that we should hit Iran much harder. In fact, I don't think it was at his, what would you call it? Not his inauguration, but his, where they're celebrating the fact that he was the VP choice. He had this guy singing. He was a guy, clearly an Orthodox Jewish faith individual, singing this terrible song that gave me reminiscent of what's her name, Fergie, singing the national anthem. That's how bad it was. I don't even want to show it because it was bad. But I'm quite certain that this guy has some pretty deep ties with Israel, and it's almost guaranteed that they're going to go all in. They're going to open the floodgates because, of course, Trump does have an arrest warrant from the Iranian government. Now, Iran has indicated that they are open to resuming negotiations, but of course, even Biden says that he's not going to do this. So you can bet that Trump is most certainly not going to do it, considering he was the one that backed out of the JCPOA in the first place. Okay? So Politico is also doubling down, and they're saying that citing intelligence agencies, officials have become more confident in the Iran regime's intentions to assassinate President Trump in the lead up to the election. They also said there may be more attempts on Trump's life in the coming weeks. Now, is it impossible that the Ukrainians could have radicalized this guy or other guys that fit the same demographic profile online? It's possible. Anything's possible nowadays. Is it likely? No. Okay, what's likely is you had a guy who felt mistakenly and misguidedly that he was in some way disenfranchised and that he needed to take action as a result of that. Unfortunately, the kind of action that is never acceptable in any society. And it's very likely that it's going to happen again. They call it, what's the name for it? Stochastic terrorism, wherein you have political rhetoric kind of fanning the flames of these extreme acts of violence. We're going to see more stochastic terrorism. That's what it's called. We're going to see more of that in the not-so-distant future. My most important concern at this point in time, while we're in this seeming low-intensity armistice on the Ukrainian front, not necessarily between the Ukrainians and the Russians, because that conventional war is being waged every day. I'm talking between Washington and the Russians. That has cooled off quite a bit in the last couple weeks. After that close brush-in with the nuclear radars and all the crazy shit that was going down there, it has noticeably cooled off. In fact, Lloyd Austin and his counterpart, Belousov, in Russia, the Russian Minister of Defense, have had two phone calls. So I'm presuming, I don't know if there's lines of communication opening up. I don't know if this is the beginning of peace negotiations. I highly doubt it. I think it's more of a case of, we know you're planning something, don't do it, or we're going to use nuclear weapons. This was the high point of rhetoric. I think the peak was when the Belarusians were on the border in the northern part of Ukraine recently. I still don't think that's necessarily over. Lukashenko has come out and said, don't worry, we're returning. We and the Ukrainians have struck a deal. There's not going to be any sort of aggression on the border. But of course, we heard the exact same thing from the Russians right before the invasion. So I think right now they're waiting to see what happens in the elections, because, of course, that's going to dictate not if there's going to be peace or war, but where the brunt and the thrust of the effort is going to be directed in this conflict, in these conflicts around the world, okay? So in terms of the data, the minutia on the global chessboard, there's a NATO liaison office opening in Geneva, and Lavrov had a conversation with the Swiss diplomat about that today, so you're going to start to see the breakdown of Swiss ties. Perhaps that's part of the reason why gold is doing its thing here. What is it at? It's still at 2478, holding pretty strong, I must say. NATO is going to increase its presence in Ukraine. There will be a larger number of secondary officers from allied nations responsible for key areas, likely in the use and training of various types of equipment. Ukraine is saying that they need to now mobilize young men, and they want to forcefully mobilize the younger generation. I think they've been putting off, I think it was in the late 20s, now they want to go all the way down to 18 years old, okay? NATO is going to be getting their $50 billion in Russian assets by, conveniently, the year's end, of course, before the new government in the United States is decided. A Ukrainian officer, an American officer, in fact, who was supposed to oversee the F-16 infrastructure. U.S. officer in charge of F-16 logistics dies suddenly in Ukraine. What a coincidence. American officer Richard Harry Kierlin died suddenly in Ukraine. According to the official version, the American died suddenly 10 days after his arrival. This was actually back in June that this happened. And I didn't talk about the story because I just figured, you know, these types of things happen. I didn't realize that he was actually in charge of the F-16 logistics, which is important considering, for all we know, they're already being used there. Another interesting thing happened that nobody is talking about, and I'm quite certain that this is not a GPS error. Oftentimes on flight radar, there are GPS errors. So a plane will show up temporarily, sometimes for several minutes, where it shouldn't be. Maybe it can happen longer than that, but this was for several hours. Okay, we've seen a UK Royal Air Force plane. It looked like some kind of trainer aircraft. I'm not sure what they were training for or what aircraft it's trying to simulate, but this was in the skies of Ukraine. Okay, this doesn't happen. This hasn't happened in 2.5 years, I'm pretty sure, that we've seen a plane persistently on flight radar with its transponder on. Now, either that was some kind of bait. It could have been maybe they're testing out some autonomous systems and they're trying to bring out the Russian air defense. It's a mystery, okay? Maybe it was a sign that there are, in fact, diplomatic channels opening up and it's a testing of that diplomacy. I don't know, but this is definitely odd. Anyways, Poland is still mulling. And notice how they're trying to separate. Okay, so here's what's going on. Poland, who's about to commit 5% of their GDP, and they're going to have the third largest army in Europe next to, I think it is, what is it? The United States, NATO, and then Poland. Anyways, they're going to try to impose a no-fly zone. But how they're trying to set it up is NATO saying, we're not about that. We're not about to go to Article 5 over Ukraine. Poland is saying that, well, we're going to have some bilateral agreement, right, with Ukraine in that we're going to shoot these missiles down and it's not necessarily going to bring NATO into the conflict. Now, there's a whole lot of problems with that, including if Russia starts targeting Poland, perhaps that is going to be the incentive that NATO needs to trigger some kind of, maybe not Article 5, but an Article 4 meeting, of course. Then that definitely ratchets thing up a notch and warms up the situation significantly. So Poland is going to be spending 5% of their GDP on military matters next year compared to, you know, total wartime. That's not a whole hell of a lot, but it's still a lot more than we spend here in Canada, where I'm sure it's probably about 1.5% or something like that. The U.S. is considering placing nuclear weapons in South Korea. Can't really see it there, but one of the main topics of the meeting between American President Joe Biden and South Korean counterpart held at the NATO summit in Washington was the possibility of deploying nuclear weapons in South Korea. That's what's going to happen. We got nuclear weapon proliferation in South Korea and quite possibly Saudi Arabia coming very soon. Now, if you think Russia has this in the bag, think again. Russia has pulled around 300 Stalin-era 130mm M46 cannons from storage. I don't have pictures of them today. But Russia does not make this type of ammo anymore. Iran and North Korea does. The 130mm towed field gun M46 is a manually loaded towed artillery piece developed in the Soviet Union in the 1950s. Why are they bringing out this analog tech? Is it because they're actually starting to run out of weapons? Or is it because they're getting ready for nuclear war and they want analog tech near the front? Or is it because they are preparing for a much longer war and they want to get rid of this crap first? Why use your best stuff when you can hold the threat at bay with the crap? Is probably what they are thinking. Vladimir Putin has also installed a Pantsir S-1 air defense system near his residence in Valdai. So we know that the situation is still escalating. Peskov has said recently, I think he just said this a day or so ago, that the West does not seek negotiations with Russia, although some politicians make statements about the need to sit down at the negotiating table. The recent NATO summit showed that the alliance has chosen the path of confrontation with Russia. They are not going to end the conflict in Ukraine, whether it's Trump or anybody else. Therefore, the special military operation will continue until all the goals previously announced by the Russian president are achieved, which of course entails the full annexation of the territories, I presume, and possibly further. But remember, Vladimir Putin has not committed to Odessa. So, you know, that one's definitely not set in stone. The last warship of Russia has left Crimea before the F-16s get there. Russia's last patrol ship of the Black Sea Fleet has now left Crimea as the annexed peninsula has been bombarded heavily by Ukraine since the war started. So if they can continue to keep Russia's warships at bay, that's one less deployment system that the Russians have to continue to fight this war conventionally. Now, Ukraine wants to develop a peace plan, they claim. However, I will say, just remember what all NATO countries have been saying all along. And this is one thing that I believe them about. They've all said that if Ukraine loses, it's going to be World War III with Russia. And what are they doing? That's exactly what they're preparing for. They're preparing the military corridors. They're preparing the war economy that will foster the industry needed. Okay, they're starting to ramp up production of their arsenals. They're starting to talk about conscription. And they're starting to talk about the deployment of more long-range nuclear-capable weapon systems in certain countries. So we know that it's only a matter of time before that happens. There was a malfunction at a Russian nuclear plant today in Rostov due to an unspecified error. This could have been a cyber attack. One of the power units at the Rostov nuclear plant has been shut down due to unspecified malfunctions. And right now, in that region, it's like 39 freaking degrees. I don't know what the humidity is, but that's definitely wet bulb temperatures. Wet bulb temperatures are ones in which the human body cannot cool themselves without the aid of air conditioning. Well, if you don't have electricity, then you're pretty much pooched. So this region with the light colors here, that's where it is scorching right now. Southern Europe, incredibly hot, well above average. YouTube servers are not working in Russia. Now, this is an interesting story, okay? Because right, the Ukrainians are saying the Russians are going to censor YouTube come September. I don't know why September. If that's true, then I think something's going to happen in September. But the Russians are saying no, it's because there's these things called caching servers. So a caching server kind of acts as a bit of an intermediary. And so that if you had to wait, you know, if you had to get the signal all the way from the United States servers in the USA, the latency would be longer. And the time that it took you to get that information would be long. I'm not a computer scientist, guys. I don't work in IT, okay, as you can clearly see. Essentially, it means that it delays the connection a lot. So they've been encountering a lot of problems because since the war started, YouTube has stopped maintaining these servers inside Russia. So the Russians are saying, look, it's not that we're going to censor YouTube. It's not going to work anymore. Because these caching servers that act as intermediaries are going to shut down. What else do we got going on here? I talked about how a Trump victory is not guaranteed. I want to emphasize that point. A lot of people are going to rest on their laurels, get way too complacent, and they're going to get a rude awakening. It's like the tortoise in the hare, sort of. That's the best metaphor I can think to think about it. Two more cases of bird flu in coordination with the Colorado Department of Agriculture. Two more cases of bird flu have been discovered where a total of 5 cases confirmed by the CDC. And I'm not sure what the status of these individuals are. The workers were calling poultry exhibited mild symptoms, including conjunctivitis, which is pink eye, common respiratory infection symptoms. None were hospitalized. Isn't that interesting? H5N1 with a 60% kill rate, none were hospitalized? Sounds like a different strain, doesn't it? Sounds like you wouldn't know unless you tested for it. Interesting. Well, at this point in time, they could just play any card they want. I would encourage you guys, on a serious note, if you want to support the channel, really, check out CanadianPreparedness.com. That's where you're going to find all the high-quality preparedness stuff. And I think we've covered everything today. By the way, that was a joke about me quitting prepping. Obviously, I'm not joking. Don't worry about it. You know, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be just fine. Iron Man is here to save the day. And, remember this guy? The guy who stopped the peace deal in Ukraine after they had brokered one with the Russians. And he came there, he flew to Kiev, and he said, "Don't sign on that dotted line because we're going to continue this war. We're going to give you everything you need." Well, these guys look pretty happy together, don't they? That's a new picture, by the way. So that tells you where it's going. It's all a bunch of bullshit. They're going to lie and tell you every lie in the book to get your vote, and then absolutely nothing is going to change. That's why self-sufficiency is the only way to go. Thanks for watching, my friends. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Canadian Prepper out.